This is URN.
Yeah, so all my house have cleared out pretty much as soon as the lockdown was announced.
I just headed home straight away. The union advised it, so I didn't want to take any risks.
Confused by current affairs? The Pulse are here every weekend, taking you through the news that matters to you most during the coronavirus crisis. This week, we discuss the movement of hundreds of students from the University of Nottingham due to the nationwide lockdown, the election of Sir Keir Starmer as Labour leader in the midst of a crisis, and debunking coronavirus conspiracies. But first, the main headlines of the week. So far in the United Kingdom, over 4,900 people have died from coronavirus. The Nightingale Hospital that was set up in London is now able to hold up to 4,000 patients, and others are being constructed around the country in various cities, including Harrogate and Manchester. On Sunday, the Queen addressed the nation.
I want to thank everyone on the NHS frontline, as well as care workers and those carrying out essential roles, who selflessly continue their day-to-day duties outside the home, in support of us all.
And after testing positive for coronavirus, Prime Minister Boris Johnson has been admitted to hospital. Now, over to Rebecca with an update on the student population in Nottingham.
So, currently, it's a little bit confusing as for students as to choose whether or not they should stay on campus or return to their home or permanent point of residence. For a lot of students, they have been advised by their universities, especially ones which have obviously closed, to return to their permanent point of residence, usually their home. Obviously, this is quite a difficult decision for a lot of students to make. However, it is worth noting not all universities are telling students to leave. So a spokesperson from Universities UK said, "It is important to note that universities and campuses are not closing. With teaching moving online, students can remain on campus if they prefer to, and some university facilities are still available." Obviously, this isn't true for all universities. Some universities have kind of pretty much closed and not moving online. They've closed in pretty much every aspect, so this might be slightly old advice, but the University of Buckingham said that they, although it has not asked any students to return home, they are expecting many to leave anyway. It's also worth noting that, for instance, a lecturer has said, without face-to-face contact, many will decide to go anyway. It's an individual decision based on academic and personal factors. So some students are saying that they're gonna they're picking a place to stay put. So the Guardian interviewed a man named Callum Patton, who is a final year history and politics student at Warwick University. He said that we've spent three whole years looking forward to our graduation ceremony and we might not get it. Everything's been cancelled and there's so much uncertainty. He said that he has decided to stay at university, says there's a handful of people here, but they've closed everything down. Obviously, for international students, it's a bit more of a difficult decision because with a lot of countries closing borders, putting restrictions in place. So someone also from the Warwick University said, we can't just leave uni whenever we want. And he got a flight home earlier in the week. India is closing its borders and a lot of students are stuck. If you do decide to stay on campus, obviously measures are being taken to support students during self-isolation. According to the Universities UK, if the number of students self-isolating continues to increase, some universities are planning to differentiate between accommodation. Those with en-suites may be supported in their existing rooms and those moved to those without move to designated accommodation. As campuses get quieter over the Easter break, some have suggested being able to allocate one student per flat. Most have additional support, for those who cannot or do not want to go home. Becca Bland, who is a chief executive of Standalone, a charity that supports adults who are estranged from their family, advises those students to stay put, make contact with student services and reach out to people in their community. In as far as people staying, obviously a lot of students aren't actually in student accommodation that's owned by the university, especially if they're second or third years, they'll be in, they'll be with landlords or in kind of a student accommodation which is in, say, Lenton or Beeston. So Nottingham landlords have said that they are concerned with students leaving the city in their droves, and as they have said that they have, some students have said that they will refuse to pay rent for their student properties. East Midlands Property Owners Group, based in Lenton, which represents around 600 landlords in the city, is trying to come up with solutions that don't leave landlords not able to pay mortgages. Concerns have also been raised that there will be no powers in place to fight tenants who have not decided not to pay rent or cause antisocial behaviour, as possession orders are ceased until June. The government introduced emergency legislation on Wednesday, March the 18th, preventing tenants from being evicted from their homes during the coronavirus crisis. Most of Lenton is also 85% is predominantly students, which obviously leaves landlords in a bit of a difficult situation, as a lot of universities have been willing to reimburse students if they are in student accommodation. But obviously, if you're a landlord, it's a little bit more difficult. Understandably, students don't want to necessarily pay for accommodation that they're not in. But at the same time, obviously, this means that landlords are not getting paid for you know, houses that are being, and rooms that are being occupied. So in as far as people's opinions go, with everything moving online and people not actually being at university, so 58% of prospective international students expressed some interest in studying their degree online due to the coronavirus restrictions, while only 42% said that they had no interest in studying online. 51% of prospective international students surveyed said that they expected universities to move more of their lectures online, and 23% of 18 to 24-year-olds, out of 234 who were surveyed, said that self-isolation would impact their education and studies. This is from the 17th and the 18th, which shows that, for obviously, for moving things online for a lot of universities has been a bit of a controversial choice, and obviously it means that it enables students to obviously return home, but nonetheless hasn't been a particularly popular choice by a lot of students. In as far as the advice going to return home, this is has kind of some benefits and some negatives. Obviously, the benefits being that there's a lot of uncertainty for a lot of students, and also with everything going online, students are able to kind of engage most of the time with their work, depending on their degree, and their university from home. However, obviously, the negatives are that a lot of time this leaves houses, for instance, in Lenton unoccupied, and also kind of means for that for a lot of students, especially international students, there's quite a lot of uncertainty over whether or not they can stay in their current accommodation or not.
Big news over the past few days that's unrelated to the coronavirus pandemic is that the Labour Party has elected a new leader in Sir Keir Starmer, who has vowed to lead Labour into a new era with confidence and hope. He won with a majority of 56.2% of the votes, which is just over 275,000 votes individually, which is a definite majority given that Rebecca Long Bailey, who was the runner-up, only got 27.6% of the votes. This majority is definitely a step in a new direction for Labour, as he won a majority in every section of Labour, including 78% of the 13,000 registered supporters. And this definitely shows that Labour's moving in a different direction. His first task will be to lead Labour's response to the coronavirus emergency, and he has accepted an invitation to take part in cross-party talks with the Prime Minister and all the other parties early next week to work on the crisis together. He's already spoken to the Chief Medical Officer, Chris Whitty, and Simon Stevens, the Chief Executive at the NHS, to talk about the current situation. And he believes that he's been elected at a moment like no other, and promises to work constructively with the current government to confront the pandemic and not engage in opposition for opposition's sake.
We're used to the pomp and glam of a Labour conference to announce a new leader, but obviously given the current times, this had to happen over social media rather than a Labour conference that was originally planned. Keir Starmer took a decisive victory here and arguably will have a mandate to dismantle a lot of Jeremy Corbyn's legacy. But it is worth noting that Keir Starmer is not perhaps as centrist as many people think he is. He was, of course, serving in Jeremy Corbyn's shadow cabinet and has vowed to continue many of Jeremy Corbyn's policies. But what he does bring to the table is a statesman-like figure, experience leading a high-level organisation when he was director of public prosecutions, an absolute mission to drive out anti-Semitism in the party, and the statesman-like presence to potentially hold Boris Johnson to account during this current crisis. I don't think there'll be any champagne corks popping in number 10 or Conservative Party headquarters at this election of Keir Starmer, because he provides one thing that they don't like, a serious contrast to Boris Johnson. He's much more hard to make fun of than the past two Labour leaders. Jeremy Corbyn was easily portrayed in the media as too left-wing, too old and a bit nutty. Ed Miliband was always seen as the worst of the two brothers in David, and obviously his eating of a bacon sandwich speaks for itself. Keir Starmer was a harder one to crack for the right-wing media, as many perceive it. He's a knight of the realm, he's got a lot of experience, he's not quite as left-wing as either of those two, and he seems to have bridged the party well. And also, he hasn't embarrassed himself politically yet in his career. These are certainly interesting times for Labour as they move forward, and I think marks a change in direction from what we've seen over the last 10 years. Could this be a turning point in Labour's fortunes? Only time will tell. Obviously, it's very different times right now, and Starmer has made clear that fighting coronavirus and holding the government to account is his number one priority. If he can do that well, and there are some genuine issues that he can hold the government to account on in terms of PPE and testing, if he does that effectively, it could be the kickstart he needs for a successful Labour leadership. It's certainly interesting times ahead for the Labour Party.
The Culture Secretary, Oliver Dowden, is to order social media companies to be more aggressive in their response to coronavirus conspiracy theories. This follows instances of 5G masts being set on fire after conspiracy theories have linked them to the spread of coronavirus. Masts have been set on fire in Birmingham and Liverpool. Theories have been spread on a wide range of social media sites, including TikTok, Facebook and YouTube. But scientists have rubbished the claims and said that it is biologically impossible for there to be a link. Some sites have already taken action, with Facebook removing posts linking 5G and coronavirus, and Pinterest limiting information shown when someone searches about coronavirus to just trusted outlets. However, 5G conspiracy theories aren't new. Since the technology launched last year, there's been lots of activity online saying that 5G is dangerous. Many of the groups promoting these claims also host anti-vaccine theories as well. This all sets up a battle between free speech and access to reliable information. 5G isn't the only coronavirus conspiracy theory, though. There have been several as people have struggled to find out what is going on. A YouGov survey of 2,000 UK adults found that 21% thought that the theory that coronavirus originated in the laboratory in China was either definitely or probably true. 32% believe vodka could be used as hand sanitizer, and more than a quarter thought that the virus could live on surfaces for up to a month. It's not just the UK where conspiracy theories have been spread. Loads of theories have been spreading globally. Countries like Iran and Russia have seen claims that the virus is an American biological weapon, while theories that is a Chinese weapon have been spread in the US and India. Other theories have included anti-Semitic tropes, anti-vaxxers, and people claiming that the virus is a method of population control. Other theories are based about countries such as Germany faking their real death tolls. Some theories even made their way to the top of the US government. President Donald Trump claimed that the virus was being used to attack his administration and also made claims about the effectiveness of the anti-malaria drug chloroquine. One man later died when he tried to make it at home. There are a wide range of conspiracy theories about coronavirus that have spread across the world. Many have originated from expected sources of regular conspiracy theorists. But the scale of the global crisis and difficulty in identifying reliable information may affect how easily they cut through.
That's all this week from the Pulsecast. We'll be back next week discussing more of the news that matters to you. In the meantime, catch our news show every weekday from 5 till 6 on urn1350.net.
This is URN.